Morning.
Get up.
Oh Jesus, you do sound poorly.
Oh, I've got the voice of a baritone. You know, if you wanted somebody to do a kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Like a voiceover.
Yeah.
To sell Yorkies or I don't know, bits of rock. Come and buy rock at the big boulder shop of cement with me. But yeah.
You are the man.
I'm the man. So although today's show is Get Up, now this is a St. David's Day, Easter, Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Special Jesus Christ.
This is a Get Up, but Hugh's going back to bed.
Yeah. But now this, if you're listening to this for the first time, which they probably will be because we're only doing the intro now, this is only... Is it the 8th today?
Yep.
We're only 8 days past schedule for putting the intro out.
I mean, to be fair, that's a record for early, isn't it?
It's brilliant. It's the best. So we had on the show... Did I tell you who we were going to have this time?
No. It was a complete surprise. And I joined the recording not knowing anybody else was going to be on the show.
Brilliant. So yeah, we had Jason and...
Sorry, Jason and Andrew.
Yeah, Jason Harper. All I can remember is him talking about the shed. Obviously, they're going to do a really cool challenge, which you can hear about in the show. And I don't know if I mentioned on the other shows yet if we had Coco, but I think...
We're going to do a Coco and Walter special, aren't we?
Yeah, I think, though, I might have bought... A golden retriever pony.
Oh, nice.
Not puppy. Yeah. Because, see, is it, you know, whenever, honey, I blew up the kids, there was a dog one as well. Was that, I don't know, you're old enough to remember that. There was like this big dog in the 70s. Oh, massive. I'll go downstairs. She's almost the same size as Izzy now. Izzy is a sheepdog spaniel.
Izzy is wondering what on earth you did.
Oh, Izzy's loving it. Because if you think about it, right, Izzy's fitness had gone from like a mile or two walk every day to now, I'm talking solid wrestling for 4 hours. So you've got to think of their strength. So anyway, what's happening in running? What's the latest news with running before we put the show? I thought we'd just mention that. What's happening in the running world of running?
And what running?
Well, you know, like say what the new trends. Oh. So I was just going to try and pad out the show a bit just to give our
new trends. I believe after our podcast was you must have a shed.
Yeah. Because
that's what I took from that. That he'd got a shed with a futon in it that was supposed to be a library.
Yeah. A library shed. And can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Whenever the Asda man comes or the home delivery or you're getting shopping out the car, is this done in your household as well? Do you put a normal pair of shoes on or anybody's shoes who are near the door and not necessarily all your foot into them?
Oh no, any shoes is the law, isn't it?
What's that about then?
Especially either the bigger the better or you can't get your foot in it.
Yeah. Oh no, is there, like Caddy and Caddy went out to the Asda man yesterday and I was going, Caddy's got a pair of my size 12 hockers on her size 9 feet. and Caris is wearing a pair of my Nike Cortez.
Love it. Good choice.
There's no laws. There is no laws.
There is no laws.
But yeah, that's it. It's a great show. Lovely bunch of lads. If you can give them a donation, that would be brilliant. We'll have to. I'm almost better, but I'm not doing much. There will be a She Ultra special coming up pretty soon. We're also going to have a Walter and Coco special. Yeah. We're also going to get Leon Clarence on very soon to talk about the Marathon Disciples. But yeah, it's a bit of admin day to day. He says, just looking at what's on TV.
See, the big question today is, does your hat match your duvet?
Seriously, if the listeners are listening to this and they're not on Facebook or Instagram, give us a follow. I bought it, right, because I really liked it. I thought, this is cool. And then I was in bed yesterday going, oh, I must go to bed. Not feeling very well. And then I was like, hang on a minute. Something quite magical here. And I was like, oh my God, I matched my duvet. And I'm still, and I'm, you know, like, hey, yeah, I can even do this whenever I'm not feeling well. And it's given me that sense of smugness.
Oh, absolutely.
What's your plan this weekend? What are you doing?
Well, it's actually my daughter's 19th birthday tomorrow, and it's my birthday on Mother's Day.
No way!
Yeah.
So what's your plan?
It involves probably cake and exercise.
Cake exercise. Has that been done yet?
It has now.
Cake exercise.
And over January, we are running the fish and chip menu.
Oh, I've seen that. That's great.
What is an animal burger?
Do you know what I've never had? And my family eat them occasionally whenever we're having a cheap night. Turkey dinosaurs.
Ooh.
I've never had them. Anyway, if you could have a pot of peas, beans or curry sauce, what would you have?
You see, I hate peas. I'm not a fan of peas.
Even with vinegar?
No, I don't mind mushy peas, but I cannot stand peas. I don't really like beans, and I don't think I've ever tried curry sauce.
So I beg your pardon.
I know. I think Dougie had exactly the same reaction.
Have you ever had...
I only discovered cheesy chips about 3 months ago.
I beg your pardon?
And no, I've never had gravy on chips.
Have you had chips and mayo?
What?
You know, mayonnaise.
Oh, I've had like when you were like in Holland or what have you, I've had like fries, not our chips.
What are you on about? You know, like...
Yeah, like skinny chips, you know, like the French fries.
I'm on about mayo. That was almost like...
I've had those with mayo.
Those droids. No, you know, like... Excuse me, have you ever had any mayonnaise on your chips? Oh, you know, whenever I was in Holland, I've had that's not what I asked. Have you had mayonnaise and chips? What the fuck?
I've had thin chips with mayonnaise, but not big chips with mayonnaise, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, what kind of cake will you have on your birthday then?
I don't know. I will explore and I will send photos. Apologise, Jason and Andrew. This really is about you, but somehow it's turned into about Hugh and I again.
Yeah, because I'm hungry.
That's what happens.
Yeah, my appetite's come back like a like somebody who's really hungry. You know, whenever you've got like a cold and flu, I don't have anything to eat. And then today it's like, hi!
Feed me!
Hi! Remember me! Yeah, well, yeah. We've still got...
I need the last 3 days' worth of food now.
And we've got a box of matchmakers as well that I've been keeping an eye out. Do you still have, right? These never get eaten, and I think there's going to be some sort of, like, bank of food of these. Do you still have cheese twirls left over from Christmas?
No.
But do you eat them?
I don't tend to buy them. What I do tend to do is not eat my Easter eggs and have them for a year and then realise that they're bad.
Have we had Easter yet? No.
Well, it depends when you last woke up. Potentially.
Easter eggs. Anyway, I'm just still finishing off my pancakes, actually, from pancakes. Right then.
And your Christmas dinner.
Right, we're going to let everybody listen. So everybody, all you need to do is just carry on listening. And this is Jason Harper. And, oh my God, can we just say that again? Because my brain just went, hey, I'm not going to give you Andrew John's name right now. So Sir Jason Harper and Andrew, both very good friends, just chatting about what they're about to embark on. Unless they've already started.
They've probably finished.
Well done. Well done.
Good work, boys. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
Goodbye. Great effort.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Right.
Hello.
Who is the first into the call? Andrew or Jason?
It's Andrew.
Andrew, how are you? I'm just waiting to see if Jason's managed to do it, and then we can start. It is we've got some sort of, well, for the last 4.5 years since I've been doing the podcast, we haven't had a successful start on any of them. So this is the norm. This is the norm, Andrew. This is the norm. We had one podcast, it was supposed to be with Mike Hasbett and Gordon Hughes, and Gordon joined the 45-minute episode 3 minutes before the end.
No, I've got a funny feeling Jason might be the same, but hopefully Sian's with him, so...
I'm just going to have a... talk amongst yourself, listeners. This isn't live or anything. I'll edit stuff out. I won't. I'm just going to see if I've got Jason's. I'm going on WhatsApp. Jason Kirby Marathon. Yes, I'm just going to send him the link there and see if he can open it. But we can have a, you know, whenever you send something on WhatsApp, but you just get one tick.
Yeah.
Instead of the second tick is gone. Just seen this. You still are. All right, we've got that out of the presenter, which is Rachel. This is going good. Hang on a minute. Yes, we are. Not started yet. Join in. Right, hang on. So that's, who's, is that Rachel or is that Jason?
Hello.
Oh, Rachel, brilliant. Rachel, meet Andrew. Andrew, meet Rachel.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Rachel.
Right, I'll give you a quick brief, Rachel. Remember how good Gordon was at joining... Jeremy Clarkson does his fastest lap? Well... we've got our technophobe lap, and then at the top, Andrew, you've got, I was just explaining that Gordon arrived like 3 minutes to go on a 45-minute, but Jason isn't very good at IT stuff. I'm up there with Gordon in bad IT. So I've just sent Jason now a text with the podcast app to see if he's got it. And I'm also checking, Andrew, are you still there?
I am still here, yes.
Brilliant. We've got, like, I think we've got one listener.
That's last, me.
That's Rachel. And this is the part of the show where we just, you know, imagine if, like, just people walked on to Wogan. Or just walked on to like fire.
That's us. Be,
you know, like no intro. So I'm just going to see, how do we contact Jason? I haven't got another phone downstairs. Oh, do you know what? I have got my other phone. Hang on a minute. This is, I know, this is good. Right. Hang on a minute. Right then. Just give him a bell. Jason.
This is absolutely seamless.
Off.
Well, he needs to come on because he's the one with all the technical all the mileage and everything. So,
the person who can't open.
I'm just coming along for fun.
Mike, can you hear my other phone on the loudspeaker?
I can hear that.
Yeah.
We might be doing Jason via that. Jason.
Hello.
Right. Okay, Jason. To make it easier, you're on a loudspeaker on my. This is the event phone for emergencies for the Pantheon Ultra, but because the link, it just isn't working with yours.
I've only just managed to get to the shed to get some peace and quiet. So, Do you want me to try again?
I want you to talk to me before you go to the shed. How come you've got your own shed, Jason? You know, like whenever people go, all right, okay, ultra running's not all that expensive. I got to get a new pair of trainers. I got to pick out. Who? When did? I haven't ran for over 4.5 years. When did sheds become part of? I like this, mate.
I just wanted some peace and quiet, so I've just come down to the library. We call it the shed. It's the library, Shan's libraries.
Oh, do you know what? I'll keep you on this.
You're sat in the fucking house reading, and I'm to the library for a bit peace and quiet.
I'll keep you on this. Because it's a good signal. Is everybody all right if I do it via like this, however I'm doing it?
Yeah, I can hear everything, so yeah.
Brilliant, and I think that will keep the channels open. I don't know what kind of shit that meant. I don't know what that meant. Anyway, so this is the show. We're all in the show now. I now want a shed. I want to get off my little sofa and I want to go into the shed. So,
you got the cow shed, haven't you?
I've got the cow shed. You know what it's like? I just want to go and sit in the shed and talk with my friends, the dog, and everything. Anyway, apart from none of this informative shit that we're giving the listeners just to wade through to get to some content, we have had two people on the show previously, but that involved Gordon and he arrived late. So how do we do this now? If you can, first of all, Andrew, do a quick little bio about you, and I mean like an elevator pitch, and then Jason, if you can think of one for yourself, just basically what your name, how long you've been running, what races you've done, and then we can go in to why you're on the show. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Andrew, if you could just give a quick little intro on your running history, where you're from, and then I'll move over to Jason.
Yeah, so I'm Andrew Williams. So I started running back, seriously, back in about, it would have been 2015 after I stopped playing rugby. Straight into ultras. I first attempted the Ring of Fire, which ended on the end of day two with hypothermia, so it was a bit of a baptism of fire into running. But since then, I've done quite a few different races, gone back to the Ring of Fire, done Green Man Ultra, I've done TR24, I've done the South Wales 100, then the Malverns, attempted the Penllyn last year, then the Ruri Marathon a couple of times. So yeah, I've done a fair few different races over the last couple of years.
And then just going back to the Ring of Fire in 2015, are you telling me that was your first ever ultra marathon? You thought, right, I'll just give that a go as the first one.
It was my first ever race, full stop. I'd never done any running at all. I went, yeah. I actually Googled. I was looking for the 10K or the half on Anglesey, because I'm an Anglesey boy. But I was living in South Wales at the time. And then this race came up, and I was like, oh, look, it's for charity as well. And I had about 114 days between retirement of playing as a front row forward at Division 1 in South Wales, Division 2, sorry, to being an ultra runner. And yeah, so I went straight into the Ring of Fire of all races.
Was there any other sports that you looked at? You know, because a lot of the lads, whenever they retire from rugby, they go and play golf, don't they? Or
to be honest,
sit in the golf club.
With my ADHD, golf would have been too boring, I think. So it had to be something a little bit more out there, I think. And ultra running seems to have filled that gap, I think.
Brilliant stuff. And then I'll just move over to, and I'll get back to you on a few of the races that you've done as well. And then Jason. Jason, you're still there? Oh, cool. Jason,
obviously, before you tell me about your racing history and all that kind of stuff, what kind of seat have you got in your shed? have you got like a kind of
nice little futon?
Oh, get away!
Into a double bed, and I'm half mind to open it out and just lie down.
Hey, you know, let's just all lie. Let's all lie on the floor together. let's just go very hippie. Let's just have some. I like to smoke big doobie or whatever these youngsters smoke, and put some Cat Stevens on, and let's just have a really good vibe of a podcast.
I can't smoke, but I have got a glass of Bragdy Cubby on the go at the moment. So a
glass of what? Cubby.
Bragdy Cubby.
Oh, that's nice.
Smoky Brewhouse.
Google it, everybody, because you can get them online as well. Can you get them online?
You can, yeah. I'm not plugging anything. You know.
I am. Plug it. Plug Can Beat Community Brewed Booze.
They sponsored the Cubby Coastal Marathon. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
The Cubby Coastal Marathon? Could you tell me a little bit about that, Jason? When's that on?
The next one is 3rd of August.
Possibly one of the scenic marathons. Not only in Wales, but Britain, Europe, the world, I'd say.
I heard it won an award.
Well, I heard it did as well. The founder of that...
We're not boasting at all.
Well, you have to boast. The thing is, right, we don't... Us small community races, we don't boast enough. You know, I think we should be boasting more simply because we don't have the financial wedge that the big marketeers do. So yeah, I just think being boastful is better than AdWords on Google.
Also, grassroots is much better than commercial racing, isn't it?
Yes. Can I ask you a question? You know, like the term grassroots?
Yeah.
What does it actually mean?
Just down to earth, not...
Yes.
We're not plugging... You know, anything commercial, it's just all about the racing and not, it's all about the adventure at the end of the day and not about making money, not about plugging any promotions and stuff like that. You know, nothing massive.
Do you know what though? As soon as we finish this conversation and I have my cocoa later on this evening, I will be sending a truckload of emails out to shed manufacturers to sponsor one of the beautiful, brutal races, just so they can say, oh yeah, how much do you want monetary here? I just want a 12-foot shed, please. Fine, I'm sold on. I think I'm at that stage now in my life where I want a shed. You know, not a man cave. I want a shed. That's where people used to go in the 80s. That's where old Dad wrote his classics, wasn't it? In a shed.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to what the hell we were talking about. You know, a bit of history with your races and what you've done, Jason. Can you let us know there as well?
Myself. Well, years ago I suffered from a bad back, and it turned out to be quite serious, and I got whisked off to Liverpool in an ambulance, blues and tubes, for an emergency operation. And I was told that I'd struggle to walk again.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, I spent about 3 months afterwards really worried about how my life's going to change. And then I was like, no, fuck that. I'm going to teach myself how to get fit again. And I started running. And from there on, it was 5Ks, 10Ks, Tough Mudders, marathons. And it's just merged into ultras. And the first ultra is actually the same one that Andrew did.
No way! Did you know each other before then?
No, we didn't. No,
I spotted him on Facebook and I started following him for training advice. And that's how I got to know Andrew. It's also how I got to know you, because you were you were a big support of the Ring of Fire.
Yeah, I love it. Without the Ring of Fire, I wouldn't be sitting here today in my mansion with my my helicopters. And no, but on a serious point, we had Gordon, really good friend. You know, we have light-hearted banter and stuff.
Yeah, I know Gordon well.
And he went off to do it, so we went to support him. And I was like, flipping heck, we need to put something like this on the pentland. Because it's beautiful, and I, you know, sailed around the same peninsula, and so yeah, thanks to Bing, James Bingham, and it's just such a good race, the Ring of Fire. It's got everything, and the support, you know, people talk about. That was my first sort of event that I went to where you see firsthand how really good the marshals and the volunteers are. I think whenever you're little, I don't know, before you actually get into doing events and stuff, marshals are just sometimes like faceless with these high vises on, and you don't really get to see the behind the scenes and how the team is. And to see that firsthand when you're not running, it's just like, wow, this is a whole community in itself, you know. And yeah,
I think I realized with the Kirby Coastal is the marshals make the race.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've got that sort of, I don't know, that there's the own community of marshals and so on. It's something a lot more than the marshals, like running's a lot more than running and stuff. So you did that first one.
Can I just quickly ask, Jason, how long did it take you to get from sort of diagnosis at the hospital to running up to sort of ultra distance?
Well, it was 3 months before I even started trying to get fit again. I was overly cautious after what the doctor told me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, now I've got to start doing something. I started walking, and we started getting up into the mountains with a friend of mine, Grant, who also helped set up the Cubby Coastal. And from there, it was, you mentioned doing a soft mudder.
Brilliant.
I was like, yeah, give me time to get fit. And after that, it was probably about a year before I started doing ultras.
Incredible.
It just got into it, and I'm not fast. I'm not fast at marathons, 10Ks, whatever. But ultras just seem to suit me better than shorter races.
Brilliant.
And then, yeah, so after the 2015 one, what did you do? Did you finish the Ring of Fire in 2015?
Yeah, 2016, same one as Andrew.
So 2016 was my second one, yeah.
And you came third in 2016, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I came in at 16.
Because I remember it was, 2016 was the year that, like, Gordon and I went to, and I remember seeing Andrew at the aid station on day three, you know, the one on the promenade.
I have very good memories of seeing you in Jarrah Bay. I was on that third day, was not in the I'd been sick overnight.
Yeah, and it was, and I just couldn't believe that there's this guy.
Yeah,
who's just explained he's been sick, he's not feeling well. And then, you know, it was the first time I'd sort of seen, were you on Tailwind or something like that? What were you drinking?
Yeah, it's the only thing I could stomach on the third day was Tailwind.
I was new to, and I was like, oh my God, this guy hasn't had any sleep, and he's doing this, and he's able to ask people to give him things. And I was like, what?
Mm.
And then as the years go by, you think, there's other people that are doing exactly the same. And then it's like, oh my God, I've become that other person. I thought that was just such a courageous you know, especially hearing now that 2015 you'd only just decided to be an ultra runner, and then you went and did it. Man. And it's very much the, you know, what's achievable for anyone. You know, I think I was watching something on TV earlier today, and how the sort of like the algorithms on the internet shows a lot of the time we just see the Zach Millers or the Courtney Dolwaters, which is fantastic, which is great, but they don't give us a proper representation of who's in these races and where they've come from. And I think that needs to, you know, there's starting to be a bit more disruption, you know, in social media now, but I think you need to start, we need to start seeing, you know, the full representation of people more at the top of, you know, Facebook clicks and so on, because otherwise I think it might put a lot of people who would enjoy ultra running off, because they think, oh, blimey, you've got to be, you know, this tashed super fast runner, or Courtney Dolwaters with a brilliant teeth just flying around and stuff.
Yeah.
It's the full, she has got brilliant teeth, you know.
It's great watching, like you said, it's great watching these, and they are just these superhuman athletes. But it, like you said, it's never the real representation. It doesn't quite give you the, you know, like what happened with myself on that third day, that being sick. And sometimes, you know, it's not all pretty. It's not that easy. Some of them can make it look really, really easy, and you know, it really, really isn't. So no, I completely agree. It does need a bit more of a representation.
Yeah, and you know, as well as the, you know, the bad moments when you're sick, but showing people actually walking up a hill.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. Because
you know, the other 90% of ultra runners will be walking up that hill. You've just seen somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just like, oh, I didn't know he could walk.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first year that I was like in ultra, fucking hell, do I tell anybody I've walked a hill? and then you're like, hey, you know what, that ultra marathon you did last week? Yeah, yeah. Did you walk any of it? Yeah. And then you were speaking to some lad from Lancaster. Fucking hell, yeah, I walked about 80% of it. Oh, did you walk in the day? That's great, brilliant. And then I said, oh, did you sit in a car park? He goes, no, I didn't do that. It's disgusting. Yeah. Oh, okay then. Thanks, now bye. Did you sit behind a mini? No. Oh, okay then, bye.
Actually, we were swimming up a hill the other night.
I saw that. Yeah. Ah, right.
We'll discuss this. Yeah.
Let's go on to the reason for today's call, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew, can you explain what you guys are about to do in March, isn't it? And what's it in aid of?
Yeah, so it'll be March 29th at 12 we'll be starting. So we will be, what we are doing, attempting, is running the Heart of Wales trail. So it's quite a newly formed trail. Actually, the trail itself, I think, I've got Jason might correct me on this, but I think the trail itself is 124 miles. However, in our wisdom, we've extended that so we can visit all the train stations along the way. So it would be 169 miles in total for us to set the fastest known time.
And where does it, you know, you're saying the Heart of Wales, so are we, like, if anybody's listening to this now, if you can just imagine Wales's map. So does it go off as Dyke? Does it go Dragon's Back? Or where's it going, sort of thing?
So it basically starts, well, Jason will know better than me, but it starts on the border with England. So, yeah, Jason will tell.
Yeah. I'll take over. So from Craven Arms in Shropshire.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And it runs all the way down to Llanelli. And it's the trail itself is 141 miles.
Oh, yeah.
And it forms the train line.
Wow.
And the trail was only only formed in 2019. So no one's attempted a fastest known time, which, you know, we're going to give it a go, and we can't fail if we complete the trail. So, we're going to get the fastest known time as long as we finish.
I like that. So there's no...
You're combining you train stations to up it to 169.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we adding to round up to 170?
Well, it'll definitely. With Jason's navigation skills that I found out last it wouldn't be surprised if my Coros measures about 200 miles, to be honest.
Brilliant.
With Jason's navigation. We've not had words about this yet.
There's 30 train stations on the route.
Wow.
Oh.
But we'll be visiting 16, the main train stations. The rest of them are request stops. So we're not going to visit them. We're going to visit the main 16.
Can we just stop for a minute and say how awesome is the fact that you're not stopping in request stops, as if you and Andrew are a train? This is what I think is brilliant. That it's because it is a request stop, you're going to run past it. This is just brilliant.
That's
it. Yeah. This is just brilliant.
It's the Heart of Wales Trail line, the Heart of Wales Line Trail Association have came up with this list of stations to visit if you're doing the trail. And it's the main 16.
Does it include the one with the really big long name?
That's on Anglesey. Oh.
Yeah. It's quite an interesting kind of, the trail itself is actually quite interesting along with the stops. There's some quite nice places to stop along the way. However, the second half of that trail is quite elevated, so it kind of goes through part of the beacon. So,
does it?
Yeah, so that could get quite interesting at times, I think. And
what's the vert for everything there?
20,897 feet.
That's just a bit higher than Everest.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's less than the office dike.
And what's your time frame to do it in?
I've calculated it overall 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So we're looking at 56 hours.
Is that with brakes? Have you put in your brakes in the 3 hours?
That's overall 3 miles an hour.
So
we can, you know, the first couple of stations, we're going to probably smash there 4 or 5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Can we just stop for a minute? The penny's sort of dropped now. How many miles is it? 170?
Yeah, pretty much,
We're doing it in 56 hours, so... You're not having like an overnight stay anywhere or staying in a hotel and stopping the clock and then going again?
No, so the idea is we're going to carry bivy bags in case. We have discussed it. The likelihood is that we're just, you know, the first night we'll probably want to power through it.
Sleep in train stations?
I think Gordon can sleep anywhere. I think Gordon is like a cat. I think he can actually curl up anywhere and sleep. I've seen him sleep in some amazing places. I think we're very much on the fly in terms of if we do stop for a break on the second night. We've not got any pre-planned places or anything, no.
And then are you having crew? How light are you going to go? What's the plan?
So no crew. It'll be self-supported. So we've been training with basically what you would find in local shops, you know, foods and
great idea.
Sustenance, yeah. Just to carry us through. So we've kind of discussed, you know, there's some big, like I said, there's some big towns along the way. So the way it's been worked out, likelihood is that every morning we'll be, you know, around a decent sized town where we could probably get a decent breakfast and then crack on. And so we're not going super heavy with kits. We're you know, basics of waterproofs and first aid, you know, decent first aid kit in case of any injuries. Fingers crossed there won't be, but yeah, we're not.
And then are you gonna have like are you gonna hire a tracker, or is it like people, your friends and stuff can follow you, you know, with a WhatsApp link and stuff? Or how are we going to be able to follow the dot train?
Yeah, so we're going to have trackers. So I think as well with the trackers as well, we've got a bit of safety then if anything does happen to one or both of us. We've got people that will obviously watch the trackers as well to make sure everything is okay. So.
And then, you know, whenever you finish, sorry for being a geek, are you going to get the train all the way back from what you've done?
We are, yeah.
that concept is lovely, because how close and how far away is the trail at any one point to the actual track? You know, does it veer off several miles at one point and then back to the side of the train?
This is where, I've got a funny feeling this is where I might fall out with Jason. So there's a couple of places where that there is a good few miles to get to the actual train station and back then to the trail. I think Bilth Wells might be the longest, Jason might correct me, to come off the trail to get to the train station. I think that adds a good 5 miles to the on its own.
Yeah, it's about 4.5 miles. That one is.
And so, how much have you plotted? You know, like I had a friend, Paul Edwards, good mate of mine from the MDS, and he was doing a walk across America, and he's really good at plotting, but he missed out one bit, which meant that he couldn't cross a motorway and had to backtrack several miles, and he was stuck for something like 5 days on the side of a road. And then that's made me myself even more anal when it comes to plotting stuff, hence the question. But I know both of you guys are very prepared and have got a lot of experience. Yeah, what's the what degree of plotting have you had to do, and how much is it just following the track, the trails and so on?
I think Jason's done most of this, so it's kind of, this is his area. I'll leave him with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
You're welcome.
I've got the Hat of Wales Line Trail book, which has got all the information we need.
Brilliant.
For the trail itself, it seems pretty easy. There's a lot of moorland, there's a bit of elevation, but there's a fair bit of road as well.
And you know, this book, is it the one, you know, that they've done the Pilgrim's book? Is it the one with the little bird on the front? What's that? What's the book? Who's the publisher?
A
Kittiwake book. So, you know, say if somebody wanted to just do a segment and hop on a train and stuff, it's a really handy book to purchase, isn't it? And I like trains.
The whole book is based on sections between train stations, between the 16 train stations that we're going to visit. It all maps out And if you go on the website, you can download the GPS trackers as well, we've done. So hopefully navigation's going to be quite okay.
And the $60 million question, and I should know this, where is the heart of Wales? Is there a town or a field, or where is the heart of Wales, or is there a place, or is this something that we can now say this part of Wales is the heart of Wales, or where? Where is it?
So it goes from Craven Arms in Shropshire, through Knighton, where you cross over into Wales. Then we're going to Llandrydod Wells, Wilth Wells, Llandovey, and all the way down Ammerford, and then down into Llanelli. But the actual Heart of Wales trail line, train line, goes to Cardiff, but the trail stops in Llanelli.
That's fantastic. And then, before we go on to kit and stuff, what's the, you know, so one, to get the fastest known time, is there a charity that you've attached to it, or are you just doing it for your own enjoyment?
Yeah, so
I'll let Andrew take this one, because this is a really important aspect of Andrew's life, I think.
Yeah, so we're doing it for the mental health charity Mind. Obviously, it's being a mental health nurse, obviously, myself, it's kind of a big part of my life. However, over the last few years especially, it's I've suffered quite terribly with my own mental health, which has... last year did result in myself being admitted into hospital, which was quite a difficult time, as you can imagine. And then Jason then obviously came, I think we talked about doing this challenge before my admission. And when I came out of hospital, I think I needed something really to focus on. Kind of everything around me was kind of falling apart. So I needed something to kind of just get me back on in my lane and kind of back on track. And we said, well, let's try and do this. And it's been a huge thing for me now. It's helped a lot. Getting back really back into training really, really hard. I haven't trained this hard in a very long time. So it's a big, important thing for me, kind of mental health. And so I think it's an appropriate charity to be doing this challenge for.
And that's really honest for you to share that, Andrew, because I've been pals with you for years, and it will show a lot of courage to other people who may be experiencing, you know, just things that just aren't very good at the moment. And for you, I think you mentioned then, you know, to focus on something. Have you developed any methods or techniques that help with future focusing, or have you got any sort of training habits that you've got in place that assist you with, you know, this motivation and being able to get the traction of thought and the traction of training again? You know, what are you sort of like? Little, it can be tiny things as well, or you might not be able to think of anything.
No, it's because it's quite still relatively. So I kind of relative. They're playing with a kind of a. An ADHD diagnosis for myself at the moment. That's come from the hospital admission. So previous to that, I was quite chaotic in my ways. So my training was the same, and I fell off kind of the running because of that chaoticness and no control. So now I've known this, I put a lot more structure into my life, which includes the training. And it comes the same with kind of similar to today, where I did a training run today, really didn't have the motivation for it, but it was structured into my day that I had to go and do that. So I went and did it. And for me personally, that's what I need. I mean, everybody can be different. For me personally, it's the structure of, right, I'm doing this and this on this day, and it has to be done, or, you know, and I found that to be very helpful in terms of, I think, you know, when you go into kind of, I think we all know we've been ultra runners, that you can be in, go quite dark places at times, especially on much longer ultras. You know, everybody has their own ways of getting out of that. Me personally, is I remind myself quite often how lucky and privileged I am to be able to do these challenges and be able to run these races. You know, there's many people who would swap my position in an instance, you know. So sometimes it's just, you know, being grateful for being able to actually be in that position sometimes.
And I think that's, you know, a lot of people will be able to do that naturally, isn't it? Like that they'll realize that they're dipping and they'll go, oh, hang on a minute, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very lucky and so on. But others, it might take months or weeks. And I think, you know, for maybe people that are having, you know, a darker moments and stuff, or, you know, if you know, if they get the time, write a simple list of a couple of things that they're happy for, and then even if they carry that with them whenever they're on the day-to-day things, so they've got, like, because then it does become a habit in your head, then it, like, being able to, I think, pivot, would that be the right word,
Andy? Yeah,
pivot your thoughts.
It is, and it's that I think also it's important to kind of remember that it is actually okay to have these dark moments, are normal, you know, normal in life and in whilst ultra running, you know. And it's not to avoid those dark moments. It's actually more to do with, okay, how do we deal with these dark moments? And yeah, I've been similar to that. I've found writing lists quite good. I've written letters that I've never meant to send. I've you know, just put everything on paper, and it does, for me personally, help kind of clear the head, mind, and just kind of put everything in order and kind of go and reboot again and just start again from fresh.
Brilliant. And I think, you know, sometimes if you buy, being able to do a free list, if that makes sense, you've made the decision to write this list down, rather than somebody saying to you, look, I want you to write this down, and this will make you feel better. It's like, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
That hasn't organically come from me. And that could, you know, put more pressure on you to do it. So I think that's lovely. Talking of lists, wow, that was a link. I'm not being funny, right? They're going to use this podcast for how to link.
Yeah,
right. Like, talking of lists,
on how to do podcasts to people, you could make a fortune.
Yeah,
right. Listen to this, right? Talking of lists, Andrew. Right. Yeah. This is probably going to be on a big screen somewhere about how to podcast. Talking of lists, let's have your kit list. Oh my god! Oh my fucking Wait a minute though. Jason, are you asleep on your futon? Are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Brilliant, cool.
I'm talking about kit now.
Yeah, we're on the kit. So we're going to have a game of you go, I go, you go, I go, you go, I go. And you've got to be quick, right, guys? And it's from your shoes. So I'll say shoes, and then Andrew goes, and then Jason goes, and then I go socks, Andrew goes, Jason goes. All the way until we get to the top of your head, and that's what you'll be wearing. So, right? Right, okay, this is just trying to wake the listener up again as well.
You're playing.
What?
I'm no good at games.
No, you don't have to be good at games. You just have to be telling us what you're going to be wearing.
Well, I'm going to be wearing, yeah.
Yeah, right then. So, Andrew, what are you wearing on your feet? Not right now, but for the
shoes-wise, it'll be the brand new Innovic Trailflies.
Oh, my God. Have you got them yet?
Yeah, I got them. So I've had two runs, one up on Holyhead Mountain, and I did 10 miles of them yesterday in Newburgh Forest.
Incredible lugs. Lovely. The material of the actual shoe reminds me of, you know, like a sailing boat sail. It's That's completely it. Yeah. different to what you experience. What is your dry weather shoe? If it's too dry, are you going to take the things shoes as well?
I probably stick those trail flies are pretty dry weather shoes.
Right.
To be honest, I'd be quite happy running in the dry or in the trail flies. I hopefully won't be so wet that I'm going the trail talons. That would be my soppy wet trail shoe. Hopefully it'd be just the trail flies.
Brilliant stuff, Jason. What are you going to be wearing on your feet?
I've got the Ultras Lone Peak Sevens.
Oh, nice!
The box on them. The grip's not brilliant, but when we're going to do this run, we can't change shoes, can we? We're not going to have room in our backpacks for an extra pair of shoes.
Can I ask?
So whatever we start in, we can finish in.
I'm just going to say, have you thought about a big elastic band on the back with a pair? That's just me being somebody's auntie. You sure you don't want to take that with you? You sure? No, here we're all right. We don't need to take a lamp.
I don't know about Jason. I don't know about Jason, but I've never in my entire time as I've been ultra running have I ever changed shoe at any time. I've got a thing about that. With my feet, so I kind of hide. Yeah. I don't want to look what's going on there, so I keep the same shoes on. So I'm quite happy, same shoes.
Do you think you said about the grip? I'm just going to do a little advert. Creeb Goch in Llanberis and Beth Gellert. They've got. When are you doing your race, Ren? 26th of March.
March 29th.
In Llanberis, I think it's on the 6th of March. The Ultra there with the new TP model, which you can try before you buy.
Ooh, really?
So that just but Ultra, they're a marmite, aren't they, of the running world? You either love them or you don't. I like them. I've tried the pair on in Chamonix. Oh, where did you go last year? Anyway, tried the pair on in Chamonix, and apart from looking like a little bit like an athletic clown in them, they're very comfy.
They are.
You know, they're not as "Hi everyone, we're here" hoppers. You know what I mean? But they're a very, and I think your foot wants to spread whenever it lands on the ground, doesn't it?
Cute.
Well, that's yeah.
What trainers do you wear?
Well, I've got the hocker,
in your face hockers.
In your face hockers, which are. Two of the reasons I bought them. One, because I'm a show off. Two, because they've got something. The Stinson Sevens have got like a H frame in them, and I went H. My name starts with H. My name's Q. And the guy that was putting them on my feet was like, "Oh fucking hell! I can't, you know, out of all the thousands of people in Chamonix, why do I get this absolute bellend who just trying to get me to pronounce who?" And I'm French, and I kind of, and I was like, you know, I'm size 13, you know, and he was getting a full slice of a real boring running geek. And poor man, I think he probably quit his job. He's probably having a great, he was looking forward to all the competitors coming and talking to them about their aspirations and who else is in, but this guy called who, wanting to try on all the shoes, talk about absolutely everything about Chamonix, destroyed him. Like that one customer that's like, okay, I'm going to do another profession. I'm going to work in an office. I'm going to be a data entry clerk forever. Goodbye. That was it. So anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, so shoes, Ultras, socks. As the socks, or have you got Innovates
personally, I'll be in some, I'm not sure exactly what model they are, but they'll be Innovate socks as well. Yes, I'm a bit of a fanboy of Innovate. So,
what size feet are you? Let me, don't tell me, Mystic Hill. Yeah. And this is for you as well, Rachel.
I'm going
Andrew. I'm going to say 7. Andrew, what size are you?
And Rachel's spot on at 9.5.
Hey.
Do you two know each other?
Well, we're sending messages.
Done a few races of the same.
Yes.
Say that again. What did you say?
You've done a lot of similar races.
Yes.
Oh. Anyway, I'm going to guess Jason's feet correctly.
I'm getting Jason, 9.
Jason, size 14. What size are you?
Guess again.
Oh, 8.
No, I'm a 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Rachel, can you just? I wanted that to be like my part of the show. Like,
clearly, who guesses? You've got everything else.
We connected that bit.
Yeah.
Guess again.
8. Oh no, sorry, I wasn't listening. It was 10, wasn't it? Rachel, can we just say we may have Rachel?
Yes.
If we have the next guests on and we ask them, we guess their feet size.
Yeah.
And you get it right.
Do I win a shed?
No, we're going to take you to a circus and you can be the feet guessing woman. The feet guessing woman. Give us 20 pence and Rachel can guess your feet, but keep them in your keep your feet. Just put your feet, and I'll get a box and I'll paint the box like we guess your feet, and then you've got to put like a blindfold on, and I turn you around loads of times, and once they've been to see the typist, they then put their feet in a box and you go, you're size 8. And then they'll go, oh, yeah, you're right, and I'll give you 50p.
Don't worry, boys. We do go back on track at some point through this to find out what you're...
Anyway, so, rudely interrupted. Andrew.
Hello.
Right, meanwhile, back in the night. Leggings or shorts?
Always shorts.
What shorts are you wearing? Well, what ones will you put with you?
Well, I'll probably, again, it'll be innovative again, I'm afraid. I'm not very, I'm a bit predictable in that term. So, yeah.
Good. No, it's good. If you know your kit, you'll
stay. To be honest, I've always. Yeah.
Yeah, go on. You've always what?
I've just always been a fan of their equipment, full stop. So it's kind of, almost a comfort thing, really, to stick with them.
Yeah. You do have your, like, well, I do have like my brand brand, don't you?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And Jason, I think you've done both before. Have you done leggings or shorts, or just shorts?
I've done leggings before.
Yeah.
Done leggings for the office bike challenge that I've done.
Yeah.
But I'm going shorts this time.
Have you got a pair? What are you wearing?
Tesco's.
Nice.
Anything from George, Tesco's, you know, I'm not a brand sort of person it comes to shorts, because they're going over a pair of decent compression shorts.
Ah, I've got you know, whenever you said Tesco's, I missed the first bit. I'm awful for doing this. And I thought you said Esco's, and I was like, oh yeah, Esco's, I know them. Yeah, they're a great brand.
I'm not a sort of person. I'll wear whatever I feel comfortable in.
What do Tesco's do? Have they got like a George? Or where's that? Asda? Where am I?
Tesco's do God knows, Florence and Fred or something like that.
And brilliant. And have you got did you say you've got compression socks underneath them? What? Compression?
A tight pair of underpants.
Good. And then going with you now, what kind of T-shirt? Are you a loose one, like a cotton, or will you wear a technical tee? Or what's your T-shirt sort of attire?
I want to wear a rash vest from... surfing,
right.
Just it's nice and tight, it absorbs the sweat, and it stops any chafing.
Yeah. I remember seeing your nipples once whenever, I think it was pre-wearing t-shirt, when they bled. Was this true, or have I dreamt that I've seen your nipples bleed?
Yeah, you've seen my nipples bleed.
Where was this? What race was that? Was that something like Caderid race or something?
With the mountain.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. I remember.
You dressed as Thor.
Yeah, I wasn't even in the race. Just good to watch, just as Thor. No. And then, Andrew, what are you? Tight T-shirt?
No, usually just a standard kind of technical tee or something like that. Actually, on this one, I will be wearing my Spider Runners T-shirt. So
let's just have a slice of nobody knows who Spider Runners is. Spider Runners is a lovely group that's set up by Susan Mansfield. And he's going to kill me because I've forgotten his name.
Mike
Bullock. Brilliant. Saw them at the running show.
You can't miss his hot pants.
Can't miss his hot pants or whenever he colours his beard, different colours. But it's such a, if you go on Facebook, there's a community group on there. And they're just one of the, they're just so welcoming. It's nice. Running is a small part of the community. It's just like a big
people. Yeah, it's something I think because I've been part of it since they created it, and I've seen it grow into this, community, and that's what it basically is. It's a community, and it's the inclusivity of it. Kind of, you've got runners of all different kind of abilities, and you've got different types of people in that group, and nobody's left out of anything. And kind of reminds us of what running and the community of running should be like, really. And I think, again, that's something that can be lost sometimes in kind of in today's society, where it should be all inclusive, really. And that's why I've always loved it.
And what's your Spider-Man's name?
So I'm actually known as the Lord of Song, because I'm known to sing as I'm running along. So, or Master of Song, should I say? Sorry.
Excuse me, one moment. Yeah. I've been in Spider Runners for a couple of years. Have we got our own name?
You have to choose your name. It goes on the back of your head.
What's your name then, Rachel? Innit?
I didn't get a shirt yet. I've been a member from the beginning, but then obviously we got busy with like the Ultra and all of that stuff, so I've not got much time to it yet.
Jason, are you a Spider Runner?
Well, I'm on the group. I didn't realize I needed a name.
No, neither did I. We can make our own up, or do they make it up for you?
I think you can make it up if you need it.
Yeah, I think Jason needs a nickname around his magnificent navigational skills, I think.
Now, let's go to navigation skills before I go to big coats. Navigation skills, is this because you may have gone off navigation area of the area you want to be at? Or what's the navigation skills there, Jason? Talk to me, baby.
Oh, I nearly drowned Andrew twice. God. Torrential rain and storms last Tuesday night.
I nearly drowned him twice.
And the thing is, he's not downplaying it. It's very accurate.
I love the fact that it's like using the word nearly. But doubt, what's to say? If you make a mistake once, that's okay. If you make a mistake twice, something. But it's the third time. So
he's still alive.
Where were you running to almost drown? Because Heart of Wales doesn't sort of spring to mind as being, what's the word I'm looking for? Near the seaside.
No, I think the idea was, Jason came up with it, was for us to try and have a long run in the darkness on an unfamiliar trail so we can practice our navigational skills and iron out any issues we might have. And we picked up one or two things from that. So all joking aside, it was actually quite a good training session in terms of, okay, well, we know what we need to improve on. But we did it on the Slate Trail from Blaid of Ffestiniog all the way back to Capelcurig, where I parked the car. So
can I do a now, lads? Now this is possibly teaching your grandmother to suck eggs. Yeah? Right, Jason, you're listening. Andrew, you're listening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rachel, you're listening. Now, I've only found out about this myself about 4 months ago. Okay, so I'm new to this. Right, what light were you using to run and read at night?
This one's yours, Andrew.
No, absolutely not, though. No. Because I've actually made a mistake of I forgot my head torch last week. So,
oh, Jesus Christ,
thankfully, Jason had the spare, so we were all right. But,
did you know? Did you use your red light at all?
I don't think Jason... No, I didn't think we did we? No.
Now, listen to this.
No.
Using the red light, and nobody can phone in and tell me this is incorrect because a mountain leader told me this. If you want to see the contours of places that you're not quite sure about or read, or whenever it's very misty, the red light on your head torch gives you the sharpest vision.
Oh, okay.
I know that.
Yeah, because I was always thinking, what's the red light for then?
I thought the red one meant you're about to turn it off.
No, because you've got, well, on various lights, you've got bright, not so bright, flickering, and then if you leave your finger on it, it goes red.
Yeah, I thought that was going off.
No, you can leave it on with the red. In that mad.
A little bit. Yeah.
Now, if
I think Hugh's got a magic torch, right?
Oh, no, I'm gonna have to revisit this information I've just given you in case I have dreamt it. Listen to this though, right? Listen to this. True or false, right? You've got a cooker in your house now, right? And you've switched the cooker switch on the wall off, but the hob is still on. Whenever you switch the cooker back on, will that hob come back on, or will you have to switch the hob off and then back on again? And it's electric.
Wait, I didn't know we're switching ovens off at the wall. Am I meant to switch it off on the wall?
Well, we do. We're one of those houses where we switch everything off.
Oh.
Of an evening, if my wife had a way, she'd take the light bulbs out of the lamps. Anyway, so what happened? I was cooking the other day, and I was upstairs. Not the same day I was cooking, and then Karis shouted lightly, "The house is on fire! There's something burning." So I ran into Gwion's room where there was a mattress against the wall because we're doing his bedroom up. So I threw that across the bedroom, but it wasn't there. Then came downstairs and she'd switched the cooker on and was going to put something in the oven, but the hob was still on where her makeup and everything was placed before putting in a suitcase for her to go on holiday, and there was a like a hairspray canister. Anyway, so I don't know where that, so whenever somebody switches the head torch on now after listening to this show, they're thinking, hang on, why am I thinking about like a cooker going on fire? Anyway, so that's it. So stay safe around cookers. Anyway, coats, what coat are you wearing for this then?
So I'm not very big on wearing coats. It has to be quite extreme for me to put one on. So, but I've got an Innovate Storm Shell, which I've had a couple of years now, and it is magnetic.
Bomb-proof.
It is bomb-proof. It packs down to a small, you know, just size of your fist. It's just, yeah, it's perfect.
Andrew,
Jason, are
you sponsored by Innovate?
No, I wish I was. And if anybody from Innovate is listening, if anybody from Innovate is listening, I'm more than happy to be sponsored.
They will be listening, don't you worry.
Do you know what, Andrew? Email them, write them a letter, and
we need to tag them in it, Hugh.
Yeah, I'll add them in. But like, you know, people are saying, "Oh, you know, I'd love to be sponsored." Just write people letters.
Yeah, it's
go on. To be honest, go on. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, like I said, it's their stuff. Like I say, I've always been. Everybody has their own kind of brand, and kind of they've always been. I mean, the pack I'm wearing is an Innovate. Sometimes you just find your brand and everything they do is really well. Nice. Yeah.
And what coat have you got, Jace?
Do you know what? I don't even know. I've got a drill with tape seams, and it does the job.
I love this. What I love about you two is it just shows the different range of how a runner can be, and there is no rules. Absolutely. with your clothing. Sleeping bags though, lads. You're gonna be taking sleeping bags, bivy bags? What's the plan?
I've
got a bivy bag.
Yeah.
It cost me £5. It's a foil wrapped bag, and it will keep me warm if we have to sleep. I've got no sleeping bag as such. I'll take a warm coat, a down coat, that I'll go in my backpack. The hardest thing is keeping everything dry. Doesn't matter how much waterproof your backpack is, everything inside is going to go wet.
Top tip. I'm giving you a top tip now. Take my top tip. Dry bags. You can put a dry bag in your bag and they work. I use them just simply for whenever I'm walking about or, you know, taking the camera to, you know, do photos. I cannot stress enough how good the dry bags are. Going on the dry bag, as well as people being able to donate to the Mind charity, and I'll put the link up in the notes. Anything else, say like dry bags or any kit that you require at the moment for it?
No, I think all we need to source now is trackers.
I think that's the last thing really. We're pretty in terms of kit and stuff, we're pretty organized, and I think it's, again, we're both quite experienced over the years, and you collect all this kit. I think, like Jason said, the tracker will be the last thing really we haven't sorted out just yet.
I tell you what we'll do is the...
Maybe a handheld GPS.
GPS. Would it be waterproof? I think you both got your watches and stuff and so on.
Yeah.
In terms of the tracker, we'll cover the cost of that at Get Up and Run podcast for you, because you guys... you know, you've taken the time to come on the show, and thank you guys. It's given a good insight. And will you come back on the show afterwards to let us know how you got on and what it feels like to be fastest known timers?
And drink some of our coffee.
Oh yeah, drink some of our coffee as well. Yeah,
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Brilliant stuff, lads. Thanks ever so much for coming on the show. Very best of luck, and we'll catch up with you start of April. Will you be back by then? When are you going?
Wow. 29th. Yeah, it'll be done. Start of April, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. And what we'll...
weekend. No Easter eggs for us.
No. Oh. What we'll do is we'll share the tracker link on the Facebook page as well, nearer the time, and also the link to your Facebook page. I think you've got like a little Facebook page going on, haven't you?
Yeah, so we've got the Facebook page for the challenge, and then on that Facebook page, so there's a link to the Just Giving page for Mind as well.
Brilliant stuff. And then going on my from podcast to editing to producing to putting it out, people be, this is the Christmas special.
Honestly, Christmas special. We're on fire. This is like we've completed the summer.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, yeah. But we all had a great year, everyone. And wow, that was a shock general election. And wow, lads, thanks ever so much, and we'll speak to you all soon.
Brilliant. Thank you too.
Bye-bye.
Very cool.
Bye.
I don't even know how to switch it off. Done. Still.